Welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Yvette McCullough. Labour is the final party to hold its annual conference this year. When most parties' minds are starting to turn towards winding down with Christmas drinks and end-of-year functions, Labour Party faithful will be gathering in Whanganui to take stock, propose policies, and begin preparations for the 2020 election campaign. And there is much for Labour to take stock of. In January, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern dubbed 2019 the Year of Delivery. Ms Ardern was unavailable for an interview this week as she took time off to recover from having a wisdom tooth extracted, but I spoke to Labour's campaign chair, Megan Woods. I asked her whether she believes, and whether Labour members will believe, their parliamentary wing has in fact delivered.
Oh look, I think our party members will look with pride on what we've been able to achieve, not just in the year that's been, but the year before that, after only 2 years in government, that we've been able to start the job on rebuilding the health system. We've been able to make progress on tackling the housing crisis. We're starting to rebuild our schools and education system, and we've taken action on climate change all the time while achieving growth.
But 2019 has also seen Ms Ardern give up on a capital gains tax, face criticism that the government isn't doing enough to address child poverty or reform the welfare system, defend the tertiary fees-free policy after low uptake, and the government abandon one of its flagship headline promises.
We will put 100,000 Kiwi families into their first home. Let's build 100,000 homes.
We will build 100,000 houses.
We will be building 100,000.
100,000.
100,000 affordable starter homes.
As many as we can, as quickly as we can.
In September, Ms Woods, as the new housing minister, announced the Kiwi Build reset, scrapping the 100,000 homes target. So is that delivering?
Oh look, I think we've been incredibly honest with the people of New Zealand that Kiwi Build wasn't working in the way that we wanted it to do, and that's why we had the courage to reset it. We have delivered over 200-odd houses, affordable homes for people to buy. That is the first time in a generation that people have had that. We have 500-odd more under construction. But I think the real point of pride for us as a party and for our members and for our caucus is around the fact the number of state houses that we are delivering.
But as a goal of as many homes as we can, as fast as we can, something Labour Party members will get behind?
Yes, they will. They know that we're attempting to do something that hasn't been done in a generation. And I think what they could see is what I saw, that actually the targets were actually producing perverse outcomes.
The government has been criticised for not being brave enough or not making poverty reduction enough of a priority. One Welfare Expert Advisory Group member, Professor Innes Asher, says the group's 120 recommendations have been largely ignored.
I'd like to see the government committing to taking more steps, and I realise that work needs to be done on this, but the government has had this report since the 8th of March, and I think it's to herald positive steps for families in the deepest poverty. It should be the priority, and I'd like to see that. It's good that they're working on lots of the aspects of the Welfare Expert Advisory Group report, but I haven't seen them say that they are going to commit to increases in income. I think their actions with the families package match the rhetoric, but I think that we're expecting more this year and next year. We're not seeing them stepping up to their own rhetoric at the moment.
But Social Development Minister Carmel Cipollone told Checkpoint's Lisa Owen she is working as fast as she can.
Oh, look, they also acknowledge in the report that the one thing they didn't have access to when they were pulling together that really comprehensive report was they didn't have access to the modelling. Now, I'm the minister in charge of actually then working out the detail behind the scenes, Lisa, and I think lots of people do understand that it's a lot harder to do that than it is to actually make the recommendations. All due respect to the people that were on that advisory group, though.
So are their expectations too high?
I fully expected them and other groups to continue to push us along as a government and to hold us accountable. And I'm working as quickly as I can. I've got my ministry working as quickly as they can. It's just doesn't necessarily meet the expectations of some, and that's okay.
Megan Woods says the party is in good heart, and while there is always more to do, it's proud of its achievements so far. But as members congregate in Whanganui over the weekend, they will have to confront some darker issues. The party was torn asunder a few months ago when high-ranking party officials and MPs were accused of mishandling serious allegations of sexual assault. A 19-year-old party member says she raised allegations with senior party officials, including the party president at the time, Nigel Haworth. A standoff had developed between the group of complainants and party officials. The complainants insisted they had actively raised the allegations. The officials continue to insist that did not happen. Mr. Haworth was questioned by reporters in early September as he went into Labour's weekly caucus meeting at Parliament.
So I'm bound by confidentiality. This has been the process all the way through.
Do you think you should resign?
I'm not resigning. I'm going to look at this, my situation, as the process develops, right? We're going to do a review of this process. If I've been found at fault, I will consider my position.
Do you think we've misled the Prime Minister then on that basis?
We will look at the process over the last period when we've done this review, and I will look at my position at that point.
I am going
to look at my position at the end of this review process that's going on.
Has she asked you to resign?
I'm going to look at my position at the end of this review
process. Is that something you're considering now?
I am going to look at my position at the end of this review process.
When were you first made aware of the sexual assault allegations?
I am not talking about any details of these matters because they are still under appeal. I cannot talk about those.
Well, because the Prime Minister is saying that she only found out about the sexual assault allegations.
I am bound by confidentiality. I cannot talk about any details
of
that process.
With respect, Nigel, you're not bound by confidentiality on this. We're asking what you knew when.
I judge very clearly from the advice I've got that I'm bound by confidentiality on this. I will not comment on that right now. That's very clear advice I've got.
Are you happy with how you're
taking it? I'm really unable to say any more than that.
Are you happy with how you're taking
it? I am confident I've handled the process in a professional manner.
That was the last time Nigel Haworth would speak publicly as president. He would resign 2 days later as the controversy intensified. He was the first political casualty, but the opposition had its sights set on Jacinda Ardern. Here's National Deputy Leader Paula Bennett speaking in Parliament back in September.
The Prime Minister cannot keep her head in the sand and pretend like it is happening somewhere far, far away. It is happening in her own office, in her own organisation. She is the leader of the Labour Party. The alleged perpetrator works in her leader's office. He works for her.
And she told reporters afterwards it was not possible the PM would be unaware of the allegations before it all became public.
There are so many senior people within the Prime Minister's office and other senior ministers that know and knew the extent of it that it's inconceivable that she wasn't told.
At the time, Ms. Ardern said Mr. Haworth resigned after she had seen some of the communications between the complainants and the party.
We sought that correspondence and upon reading that it became very clear to me that despite the best intentions, despite the plans of the party to conduct a process that they thought would bring resolution, it caused harm.
Some days later, she laid out Labour's response in the form of two separate reviews.
That process will be a place where those who have come forward to the party can be heard, and that includes all of the issues that they have raised. Maria Jew QC has indicated that she does not believe that her process is the place to take a look at what the Labour Party did with the complaints when they received, nor the handling of them. That is fair. She wants to be focused on hearing the substance, not whether Labour behaved appropriately. So she will rightly focus solely on the complainants and their complaints. Therefore, the second action that has been taken. The Labour Party's lawyers, Kentington Swan, had nearly completed a piece of work on whether the Labour Party behaved appropriately in the handling of the complaints. They will now hand that report over to an independent third-party reviewer who will establish a statement of facts around the party process and what complaints were received. This will be based on documents rather than testimonial interviews to avoid complainants having to engage in multiple processes.
The Marie Jew report is expected to be finished in the coming weeks, but there have been no promises to make the whole thing public. The other third-party report is expected to take more time and is unlikely to be wrapped up before the end of the year. Although unavailable for an interview, I was able to briefly ask Ms. Ardern about the conference at her first public appearance following her surgery. I asked her what her focus will be this weekend.
Our party is in really, really good heart. For me, this is an opportunity to look back over the last 24 months at the progress that we've made as a party, but also to look at the areas where we need to keep making sure that we're focused, those core issues we were elected on, you know, the environment, making sure people have the services they need and everything to contribute to a good life in New Zealand. So I'll just be doing a little bit of a forward look there.
Is it disappointing that the sexual assault investigation isn't complete ahead of the conference?
Oh, look, that's not about politics. That's about making sure we get the process right.
It's about culture within the party, though. Is it disappointing not to have those answers?
Again, I'd rather make sure that we get that right rather than rush it just because of a milestone of a party conference.
Ms. Woods took the same view.
More important for us is that those inquiries needed to operate on the timelines that they needed to get the answers that were required, not to fit with the timeline for conference. We can certainly come back to those at our regional conferences early next year and discuss those. They'll be discussed at LECs around the country before that. But the most important thing is that those inquiries and reviews are left to do the job that they're meant to do, not be managed so it fits the timelines of the conference.
Mr. Harworth's departure means a vote will take place this weekend. Those vying for the role of party president include Habitat for Humanity Chief Executive Claire Szabo, West Coast Tasman Electric Committee nominee Lorna Crane, and Labour's Māori Senior Vice President Tane Phillips. Ms. Szabo and Ms. Crane aren't commenting ahead of the vote, but Mr. Phillips spoke to RNZ last month. Deputy Political Editor Craig McCulloch asked him whether he believes the party has a culture problem around bullying and harassment.
I think, again, let the reports come out and see what it also is saying. Have I seen bullying or of a sexual nature or anything like that? No, I haven't. I would have said something.
If you are made president, would that be a priority for you, following through on the recommendations of the inquiry?
Yeah, well, it would have to be.
What do you see being your key focus?
My key focus is to unite the party and act on whatever comes out of those reports and to go forward to the next election and support the parliamentary arm to win the next election.
Christchurch East MP Poto Williams is leading a session at the conference on Saturday looking at how to create a safe and inclusive party. The session will be closed to media. I asked Ms. Woods what she expects will come out of it.
Look, this is part of the commitment we've made to addressing head-on some of the issues that we have faced as a party, that Jacinda has committed us to an examination of these issues and fixing them. I think that it will be a really positive session for the party.
Council of Trade Unions President Richard Wagstaff will be speaking at the conference on Saturday morning. He believes the party's union base feels that the government has delivered for them.
I think they have very much so, but I also think there's enormous expectation and we're in the process of achieving things. They haven't all been completed and there's a long way to go. I think that the thing that we're clear about is that it's not a Labor government, it's a coalition government, and our expectations of a coalition government are not the same as our expectations of Labor.
But do the unions feel Labour is fighting their corner hard enough when New Zealand First pulls the handbrake?
Union members and activists have heard straight from the Prime Minister and her team, you know, what their priorities are, the importance of things like fair pay agreements and their commitment to achieving them. So I think we have no doubt about their commitment to the same kinds of policies that we support. It's just a question of getting them through the political process.
As campaign chair, Megan Woods already has her sights on 2020. She says the main focus at this stage is ensuring they have the right machinery for the campaign.
We know some of the key issues that the election will be fought on. Obviously, policy is still being developed, but some of it will come down to issues around leadership, issues around coalition management. All of the polling don't show a way through for National to govern without a coalition partner. I think that one of the things that we're really proud of our first 2 years in government is Jacinda's leadership. In terms of managing the relationship between our coalition and confidence and supply partners, but more than that, actually modelling a new and better way of MMP leadership that allows each party to retain their identity.
So how are you going to carry that through to campaigning, though, and get that message across that you want to vote for Labor without alienating your coalition partners and your friends?
Look, this is just the reality of MMP campaigns, and it has been for a couple of decades. I think what we showed very strongly in 2017, that we were able to go out there and we were able to campaign very strongly on Labor values and Labor policies, but we also maintained relationships with other parties that made it possible to form coalition and confidence and supply agreements.
And we're seeing these pretty slick attack ads from National that are playing quite well on social media. Have you thought about how you're going to combat that kind of messaging?
What we also know, while we hear about the huge sums of money that National is spending promoting their attack ads, what we also know is the organic reach that positive messages from our Prime Minister gather far outstrip anything that National can pay for. But of course, we will have our own social media campaign, and it will be a very important channel for telling the story of the progress we've made and the job that we have to finish.
That's Focus on Politics. I'm Yvette McCullough. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to listen to this program again, head to rnz.co.nz/focusonpolitics, or you can listen, rate, review and subscribe to Focus on Politics on iTunes. Mā te wā.